Well, in the first half, we'll give you an update on Brian's health. He's back in studio. His wife, Christy, will walk us through the part he can't remember. Very harrowing. Also, we'll break down the game film with the Gina grad as we talk about Casey Anthony. I think you know where this one is going. And we'll do all that right after this.
Hey, Friday Night Lights fans. It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond is an episode-by-episode discussion of the hit TV series Friday Night Lights, hosted by yours truly, Scott Porter, who played Jason Street on the show, and my two wonderful co-hosts.
Me, Zach Guilford, a.k.a. Matt Saracen.
And me, Mae Whitman, a.k.a. someone who wasn't on the show, but really, really loves it a lot.
We will also bring on some special guests, answer your questions, and tell you about what's going on in our lives today.
It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond, coming soon wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose!
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Netflix's Dead to Me, Deanna Maria Riva. With Gina Grad back on news and Bald Brian back on sound effects. And now, a man who constantly has that not-so-fresh feeling, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. A mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian. Bald.
Close call there.
Back. How many days in the hospital?
Oh, fuck.
Four? Well, maybe?
This is why we're getting Christy on the phone, because much of my health ordeal, I was not lucid for. I was not present for. Mm-hmm. But into the ER on Tuesday night, I believe, 24 hours in the ER, and then finally whisked away to a hospital room where I think I got out on Saturday,
yeah.
So Tuesday to Saturday was the hospital stay.
How was Maui?
It was awesome. Oh, my God. First time there.
They give you a lay when you got off the plane?
No, you have to pay for that. But at the luau, at Feast of Lele, I got the fresh lay. I brought it home. I wet a paper towel, and I put it in a box.
It's her turn now.
And now, so I brought it home, and it's like I got it
today. Stay at the Grand Wailea?
No, it was a little pricey for us.
Howie Mandel's catamaran?
No, but I did go on a catamaran for the first time in my life. I got to sit. I laid on the net.
You laid on the net. You laid the net.
It was gorgeous. You could see Lanai and Molokai.
Oh,
you
ever
right
been on the net in a catamaran?
Oh. I have. I dreamt that I was floating and kind of just, you know, suspended in mid-air.
Anyway, the water was so warm.
Yeah,
I know, it was amazing.
From the turtles.
Oh, yeah.
You can only go within 10 feet of the turtles.
We were told. And you cannot go in the water if it's been raining because sharks might get you.
Brian, ever been closer than 10 foot to a sea turtle?
No, it's funny. They actually told me upon discharge to stay 6 feet away from my daughter for 24 hours because I was radioactive.
It's when you checked out?
I got a little closer to the turtles. Uh-huh. They were so
What'd you
cute.
Do? Do you Mai Tais? What were you drinking?
Oh, my God. Mai Tais and all the punches. And the Bloody Mary at the hotel was literally the greatest Bloody Mary I've ever had.
I don't know if you're
had.
A big Flintstones fan, but I always like to say, please pass the boy.
Also a 24-hour
buffet
cocktail.
Or continental breakfast?
Continental. Huh? We would go down to the restaurant every morning. Uh-huh. Had the greatest smoked salmon. I did an ahi eggs
Benedict. Brian, what color was the jello?
I got a cocktail drip every 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
That's totally
different. So it was awesome.
It was amazing.
Awesome. Did
I
you guys
feel
rent
so
a Jeep?
Refreshed. No, we actually just Ubered everywhere like the prince and princess we are.
Oh,
really
so
just
awesome.
Needed to relax.
I got pushed around in a wheelchair by the orderlies.
So awesome.
Yeah, Uber's great there. They're everywhere. Plentiful. Mm. Went to Monkey Pod. Great restaurant. Lots of great restaurants. Went to a little fish market by myself.
It's like an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, I feel like
so
I
rejuvenated,
get
absolutely so refreshed.
Had the greatest massage of my life. I thought I was levitating.
Okay, well, I got to talk about Red Turner.
Please.
So in the ER for one night, and
I was in the ER for close to 24 hours.
Oh, well,
I went to the ER at like, Christy's on the line.
Oh,
she's
on?
Her up. She can.
Oh, okay.
She'll tell you anything.
And then move to a room.
Shed some light.
Christy.
Hello.
Loving partner.
Oh, my God. Hero.
Lifesaver. Saint.
Lifesaver.
You know,
Adam, I prefer lifesaver.
Lifesaver. You really are a hero. I got to say, you know, if Bob Saget had had Christy with him that night,
he'd
probably
be on the show
still
today.
Be alive. Because
you're right.
A lot of decisions are made when guys are alone to go, I'm fine,
I'm
going
down.
To bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Dude, put a pin in that because that is a that is the fulcrum to the story. So I was feeling really crappy like Thursday and Friday of whatever week it was, the 11th or whatever it was. Those last two shows with John Reap and Harlan Williams, I was really struggling. I was feeling sick.
We could tell comically.
I wasn't there mentally. And when I got home, I just said to Christy, I got to sleep. I got to take a nap. I got to go to bed. And I think I slept most of that weekend. And when Monday rolled around, I was still so sick that I did what I never do. I called or texted Chris and I was like, man, I can't come in today. I'm really sick. He's like, all right, get well soon. And I slept more and slept more. And here's the weird thing. I was having these flu symptoms, you know, all the classics, right? All the body
chills,
aches, the chills, the everything. But it was exacerbating my tumor symptoms.
Gilly.
Like it was as though it was 2009 all over again. And I just finished radiation. I was having double vision. Like, driving to work became hazardous. And I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can do this before something has to give. And I called Adam the next day on Tuesday. And I was like, basically said, hey, man, I am not at my best. I think I'm hurting the show at this point just by being there, more than normal, just by being there. And I need to take a couple of days off and get right. And he's like, yeah, do what you got to do. Take whatever time you need.
And you were immediately replaced by Brad Williams.
And it was downhill from there. That's when, so Christy, you can take over here, because around 8-ish at night, I had been sleeping all day and all night. I'm on the couch and Christy calls Dr. Rudnick, our neuro-oncologist, and he's like, what do I do? Brian is like wasting away in front of me.
Take it, Christy.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather talk about Maui, Gina.
Anytime.
No, this is the genuine thing for the PSA for getting a flu shot. I'm just going to have to do that right now because, I mean, I kind of thought that it was like COVID last year. This was 1,000 times worse than COVID, by the way, because he would get better. And like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, now we're headed into Tuesday. I was panicking because all of the tumor symptoms were back. So I was like, oh, this is like the worst double whammy of all time because his tumor symptoms are everywhere, which didn't make any sense because he hadn't had a treatment that would have like, you know, made those worse or really show up at all. And then he also, the scary thing for me was he literally couldn't open his eyes. Like he was kind of fading in and out of consciousness a bit. And when I got in touch with Rudnick, he was like, I wonder if you should go to the ER. And then, you know, it's the most surreal thing to have your 6-year-old sitting 5 feet away from you going, Mommy, are you crying? I'm like, no, just a little worried about Daddy. We're going to figure this out. And then, you know, going into your bedroom and then calling my parents, basically sobbing, being like, I don't know what to do. And my dad was like, you need to either call an ambulance or like, we're going to call one for you. Like, he needs to go. Because Brian was basically like nonsensically saying, just let me sleep. I'm so tired. Okay. Just one more day of sleep. And we got him, and I was like, no, we're not doing that. So we got him to the ER, and that's when they
Christy, hold on a second. Know that part of the movie, right? The cliche where it's like, dude, guy's lost blood. He's been shot, whatever. Mm. Keep your eyes open, man. Don't go to sleep.
Yeah.
All so I cold. Wanted to do was close my eyes and go to sleep. Christy was like, I just talked to Dr. Rudnick. He will order you an ambulance if you don't come with me.
Yeah.
And it will show up at the house. And my thought was, Christ, all of our neighbors are going to be so annoyed.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's the big
problem. I tried to convince her. I was like, Christy, I'm on board with the ER. I will go tomorrow morning. I just want to sleep in my own bed. And that may have been the downward turning point had I not gone to the ER that night. Christy, you can take it from here.
It would have been 100% because when we got in there, he basically was I was vindicated. I was thrilled because he was being kind of a dick the whole time, tugging on my sleeve, going, "I could be in bed right now."
I just slumped over.
People are staring at him. I was like, "This is not going well for anyone here." And we got in, and his blood pressure was like crazy. His heart rate was insane. His oxygen was like beyond low, and they're like, we have a sepsis nurse on rotation. We're going to get you in a room right away. And I was like, I know sepsis isn't good, but I luckily haven't had to deal with it ever in my life. So I'm Googling sepsis and going,
don't do that.
Oh no. So, the most amazing thing I said to Brian the other day was like, when we got into the room, like, no one in the ER ever panics, but you can tell the severity of something by, like, the number of people and, like, the calm frequency with which they come into your room at a very fast pace. Mm-hmm. And there were probably, like, 8 people that showed up in the first 30 minutes to do a CT scan, an X-ray, a COVID test, an RSV test, flu test, 2 antibiotics, start Tamiflu, blood culture, urine culture, and, like, the list goes on.
They wheeled a X-ray machine into the room. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the size of a bookshelf.
Wow. And was it...
Yeah.
Was it just the flu? What they ended up
it
with?
It ended up being influenza A. It ended up being two kinds of pneumonia, bacterial and viral pneumonia, and the pre-sepsis.
Don't
which,
be a one-upper.
Had it not been, had they not caught it, it would have turned septic.
And those were all the things that were aggravating your tumor symptoms.
Oy, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm texting Gina. Gina, you are my angel. Like, love as I'm you. Sitting in the ER. Ugh, I don't want to
I almost came down but, like, there, but like, I didn't want to annoy Brian.
Trust me, he was annoyed already. But I was texting with his neuro-oncologist, like, after all the tests were going through. And they only tell you later on kind of what they want to tell you right away. And he was like, I saw his blood levels. They were so bad that he would have died in less than a day. Like, had you not brought him in, he may have died at home.
Wow.
Which sent me down, like, a spiral.
So that answers my question, Christy. That answers my question, Christy. Have you told Brian that yet?
It's the most surreal knowledge you can have about yourself. This is by far the closest I've come to death. Like, but beyond cancer treatments, beyond COVID, nothing compared to this. I was semi-lucid the whole time. Like, I couldn't answer most of these questions if you had asked me.
Were you doing stuff when you were at home? Were you pounding Gatorade?
Yes,
were you eating?
Yes. I was craving weird things. I was craving Gatorade. I was craving Diet Coke, like the salt probably.
Delicious.
Or the whatever. I was eating, but I also was losing an appetite. So, like, everything was being forced. It was a very weird. And I tell you what's weird about the ER. I was in there for, 22 and a half hours, Chrissy? Something like that. It was almost 24 hours. We were lucky to get a room. Mm-hmm. There were people lining the halls in beds, like people who were admitted and just lining the halls.
God. Was that flu or just?
I think the flu people, they were taken care of a little more diligently. These were other situations, I think.
Wow.
All respiratory patients were, got private rooms because of the potential contagion. For contagion. And then when we got admitted, he was on the COVID ward. And I was like, well, this is a place I never thought I'd ever see. But never say never.
Wow. So you're an angel.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. You've saved Brian's life.
Christy.
Yes.
The last thing I will say, and I mean this with all sincerity, and I put this on Twitter and on Instagram, like, the Corolla family, not just in studio, but the listeners, the audience, I literally will cry. The amount of messages that I got of just like, don't give up. It's going to be fine. Like, we love him. We miss him. Bring him back. Is he okay? Like, to this day, I'm still getting messages. I'm like, is he okay? I'm like, ask him yourself. He's back on Twitter. Leave me alone. But, like, it's just so incredible, the community that you guys / we have. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for everyone's, support and love.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks, listeners. Thanks, Christy.
Love you, girl.
I know you got a tight window, but we appreciate you carving out some time for the update. And thanks for the work.
You got it.
Thanks for saving me, babe.
Love you guys.
All right.
Now, keep him there for a while. I've had enough of him at home.
I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. I would have been right with Brian. Just leave. The problem with going into the ER.
A night?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The problem is when you're feeling the way you feel, all you want to do is stay where you are.
Yes.
And I'm picturing sitting in those chairs for 2 hours.
And just
people coughing around me.
The lighting alone.
Yes.
Just walking into that fluorescent bright room and having to pull it together and sit and wait and blah, blah. I would have made every argument to stay on that sofa. So glad that she won that argument.
Do you remember in San Diego when you went on a rant about how lucky women are and how grateful we should be that women live so much longer than men? And I say it's because men don't listen to us when we say go to the fucking doctor.
Yeah.
You think there might be some truth in that?
Nah, first off, there's genetic differences. Like, if somebody said female Labradors live longer than male Labradors, I just go, all right, well, sounds, I guess female Labradors live live longer. It's not because they're being talked into going to the vet. But I don't know. I don't know that anyone's ever – I get what you're saying. I don't get – I'm not sure if anyone's studied genetically why. But, yeah, I think men – I think with men, I think a lot of it is stress. It's sort of like black men don't live as long as Asian men, but there's lifestyle choices in there and stress that get factored in. But there's also some genetic components as well. All right. So Brian's back.
It's a surreal experience of my life, you guys. Like, I even when I was going through the worst of my cancer treatment, at any stage, I was never as, like, confronted with mortality
That's
as
insane.
I was. It's crazy.
There is nothing that kicks your ass like a good flu.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was hearing everyone's tales of woe as it pertained to COVID, I was like, yeah, that sounds like when the flu fucking bites hard and you're just crawling on your hands and knees and everything seems like the biggest chore in the world and you can't keep anything down. I mean, the flu could be the most miserable X amount of hours you'll ever spend 100%. On this planet. Yeah. So I had so Gina, did we cover you? You went to Maui.
I'm sorry. Can we please talk about that? I went to Hawaii for the first time in my life.
Oh, did you go to Maui? Or?
We went to Maui.
Okay.
And yesterday at this time, to Christy thought she was going to cry. I was wading in the water, letting it just drift me in and out to shore 24 hours ago. Yeah, just throw up a couple of pictures just for fun. So this is what greeted us on the way in. Nope, that's the end. Mm-hmm. We looked down. Rainbows fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
That's why it's on the license plate. I look down the wing. I see the water. Big, giant rainbow.
Well, there's always mist in the distance, so you're always going to get a rainbow.
We're looking at a beautiful, giant rainbow from the airplane.
It was just there ready to greet us. You don't get a leg greeting. That's a charge, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just keep flipping. So then
Bobo airline you fly?
Hawaiian. Oh, but I have to say I'm obsessed with the Hawaiian Airlines pilot because instead of like, yeah, we got some turbulence, everyone just sit down. This guy is super Hawaiian, the pilot. Mm. He's like, oh, I bet you feel that the plane is doing a little hula dance because she's so excited to get home. It's like, amazing. Yeah,
placating.
It was very cute. Then we went to this restaurant that apparently started in Portland and they're everywhere called Slappy Cakes, where you get to make your own pancakes in the griddle in the middle of the table.
Mm. So dangerous trend now where it's a Korean barbecue place.
Those are Korean
Hawaiian.
Barbecue griddles.
There's going to be, I'm just going to open a place called Make Your Own Damn Sandwich. There's just loaves of bread and cold cuts laying around.
Here's some bread ink.
You pay $14 and just wander around.
I liked it. It was really fun. So just keep rolling through. We'll see what we got. Oh, I chose chocolate chips and peanut butter instead of syrup for my pancakes, and I thought that was an excellent choice.
That's not bad.
I really wanted to get in this canoe with the balancey thing on the side.
Outrigger.
Thank you. But it was sort of unseasonably and abnormally windy while
wind
we were there.
Wind is not your friend when you're in a canoe.
It was actually very, very windy.
I can still do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not your friend. I got to tell you, getting in the ocean, and I would fantasize as a kid. I love the ocean. It was such a treat to go see Vince and Pat Bruno in Santa Monica.
Oh, boy.
And we'd always go into that Santa Monica. You'd get up to mid-thigh in the Santa Monica Bay, and you could not see your knees.
Right. Yep.
And I would fantasize about clear water.
Clear.
I would just sit around, and every time I watched a game show where they sending someone to Acapulco or something, and I had a friend that would go to Puerto Vallarta or whatever, and he'd go, it's like bath water, and you can see your feet. I could underwater, when you're in the Santa Monica Bay, it's like trying to – one of those cadaver divers that's trying to pull a body out of a polluted river.
That's
you can't see your hand in front of your face. the notion that it was so crystal blue and warm.
Incredible. Mm. When I went to the Cook Islands several years ago, that was the only time I'd ever seen it. So this is the second. Show the video. This is where we spent Thanksgiving. I found this restaurant, pre-booked it, could not get into Mama's Fish House. I tried.
Next time.
This wonderful oceanfront restaurant called Pacifico. And this was our Thanksgiving.
Beautiful.
Crusted mahi-mahi. There's Molokai. You're going to see my husband making a face. And this is the inside of the... I mean, it was just beautiful. It was great. Beautiful.
You know, everyone who lives in Maui or works in Maui should have to spend 7 weekends a year in Van Nuys, California.
Yeah.
Just to calibrate.
Yeah. Because
at a certain point, you work at the restaurant or you live there, and it probably just fades into the background.
100%.
The amazing beauty, the scenic beauty of it all.
When it was humid and it started to rain, I was out there just like bathing in it. And people come and go, "We're so sorry. You know, we're so sorry it's raining." I'm like, "This feels amazing." Can we do a couple body positivity appreciation posts, please? I brought like 15 swimsuits, and God damn it, I wore them all. One of them, I walked around the resort in a pink Barbie pink swimsuit in a see-through dress.
All right.
And I'm going to show it to you right now.
Main attraction. Mm-hmm.
It was just like everywhere you go. First of all, heftier carriage of people coming from the mainland.
Yes.
So I felt live. I felt very, very camera
ready. Wasn't a bunch of spokesmodels coming from Idaho.
Wore that all over. And then for the luau, I have to show you this dress because I thought it looked fucking hot.
Oh, you do look hot.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. So wore that to the luau. We got our leis. We went to the feast at Lele. It was beautiful. Did you do that?
I can't do these things anymore because last time I was there with Danny Two Sheets and Cousin Sal and all the kids and everything. You know, it was $118 a head for the luau.
You got lucky.
Or, I don't know.
Very expensive.
$146 bucks. The kids last about 25 minutes. And then we're like, we want to go to the room and watch TV. And I was like, you fucking sit here and enjoy this goddamn pig. It gave its life up for you.
Thank you.
And they're like, we want to go. We're bored. Like, we want to go back into the room and we'll watch TV and we'll rent some movies. And I was like, I saw the goddamn Brady Bunch episode where they came here in 1974 and you're going to fucking sit here and enjoy this goddamn pig that just came out of the goddamn ground. And like, we're moving. They went to the room.
I can't.
Order burgers.
Pizza. They went
so
to the room and then
offensive.
Ordered pizza. And I was like, you better fucking eat every piece of crust on this goddamn pizza. I can no longer enjoy things.
I get it. This was basically $200 a head. Almost.
Now, yes. Well, the question I have for you, Gino, when you were planning the trip a month or so ago, we talked off the air. Just like, what do you think about going to a luau? I'm like, I think you have to go once.
I agree.
And then now, what's the verdict?
It's a one and done for me.
Was this one of the nicer ones?
Very, very nice.
Okay.
It's fine. It was lovely. It was great. But I think we're done with the luau's now. But the luau, the dancing is spectacular, and the food was fun. These poor guys, it was a very chilly night, and all the waiters are shirtless in little, like, sarongs. Nipples could cut glass on these boys. Mm-hmm. It was freezing.
Hmm.
And look at you see the Howley, the white dude, the second from the end?
Yeah.
He was distracting. He pulled a lot of focus, because just...
Oh, there's a guy who looks like Conan O'Brien up there with the pom-poms and the... and the sash and everything. Yeah. What's the Howley doing up there?
Serviceable job really pulled focus, really bumped me. There is a girl I've known my whole life named Shira. When we were in second grade, Shira got to go to Hawaii. And that was the first time I heard the word catamaran. And she said she got to sit on the net of a catamaran. And I have been thinking about that since second grade.
It's a romantic notion.
It's
like a Duran Duran Rio video. Just on the net of that catamaran.
Her name is Gina.
She lays
flopping on the net.
So we went to this really nice sunset dinner cruise. It was beautiful. And I said, I'm getting on that net. I just lay after dinner. No one else would get on it. Everyone was scared. I just laid on the net the whole way back. It was fulfilling a second grade Gina's dream. It was beautiful. And finally.
How was the food on the dinner cruise?
Fine. Not wonderful, but good. Yeah.
Okay.
I stopped wearing makeup.
They sound like me.
crazy. It doesn't even occur to you to put on makeup. Yeah. Check out this hot picture of me with no makeup.
Yeah, you look beautiful.
Thank you. Don't worry. I'm not bringing that home. It was just nice for a couple of days. And finally, yesterday morning.
I put my own makeup on yesterday.
How'd you go?
Honestly, I was doing a Jesse Waters show and they sent the truck over. And the reason you have, I've said it all the time. Everyone in Hollywood has to get their teeth whitened. Mm-hmm. The reason you have to get your teeth whitened in Hollywood is not because of your teeth, but because you're sitting in between two people whose mouths are glowing.
It's like blue, a shaft it's so of white. Light.
They're so white. You can't go on Fox and sit in between those two chicks with the glowing white teeth.
Right.
In contrast,
your
teeth look like shit. And when you do a show and the host is in full makeup, and you're in no makeup, even if you're fine, you'll look weird.
Yeah.
So I got the powder puff out.
You mean British, right, with the tooth?
Hmm?
The teeth, you mean British?
British? Yeah, sorry.
Okay, mm-hmm. Just checking.
Yes.
24 hours ago, I said, I'm getting in the ocean one more time every morning. Every morning out there, just letting it take you where it takes you. So did that a few times. And finally, there's me. We're just leaving, and this older couple comes up to me, and she goes, would you like me to do some photography, like some portrait shots of you and your husband? I was like, sure. So she took a bunch. This is just one of us walking, whatever.
That's nice.
It's very nice. And I said, thank you. And she said, no problem. God called me to do it. And I said, well, thank him for me.
Yeah.
She said she and her husband, who was with her, were pastors for 50 years, and God called them to move to Hawaii, and then God called them to take my picture. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start incorporating that into more, because it's very hard to argue with
God. It's hard to argue with. It's like,
God also called me to move to Hawaii, I think.
Reggie White would come out of retirement, you know, and they'd go like, why are you coming out of retirement? Like, God told me to.
Yeah.
And like all the reporters go, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk about a messy divorce and needing more money or something like that.
No, you don't argue
God,
with this.
But God never tells you to move to Pahrump.
Right.
God tells you to move to Hawaii.
War-torn Syria would actually need you.
And it's amazing.
A convenient God.
Because nobody ever listens to me. And if I say, this is what I need to do for myself, people will fucking laugh me out of the room. If I say, I'm sorry, it's my calling, God told me to, I would like to think it would command a little more respect.
I was thinking along those lines, not in the God told me to argument, but I was now thinking about athletes. And I used to joke all the time, and I'll bring it to a present day thing, which is I'm obsessed with the guy who shoots up the nightclub and then he tells me that his pronouns are thee and them,
right,
and she and her and
happen.
It and us and we. And there was even a story. I think, Chris, you had it from yesterday. It was a Biden cabinet member who was in charge of spent nuclear waste or something ended up getting busted for stealing someone's luggage at an airport.
Oh.
But that person was a trans person who was into like pup play or something.
I can't believe I'm asking this. What is that?
You get your partner to dress up like a dog.
Oh.
And
pup play. Okay.
It's weird. Right, the name.
Seems, I don't know. Look, I don't want to go old school, but the dude I went looking after the spent uranium is the Mike Pence type guy. Not
he calls
the pup,
his wife mother.
Not the pup play guy with the pink mohawk who's into a bunch of gender stuff. But this guy gets busted, right?
Yeah.
But then when they tell the story, because he goes by them and we, then it's like, then they stole was accused of stealing the Samsonite. And then we brought it back to the apartment. And then they opened up the luggage. And it's like,
you had an accomplice?
It just confuses everything. It's, then she went into the bathroom and then she raped the 9-year-old. And then she pulled out her phallus. And then they are being brought on rape charges.
Right.
Like, I'm totally confused. It fucking is. It's good stuff. Oh, you can find some great pictures of this fella. But either way, I've been saying, I said it for years. I've said it. Brian probably remembers this, Jag, from the Loveline days. 25 years ago, I would say, you know, people always make fun of athletes, you know, because they do the third person thing. And they go, you know, Charles Barkley needs the ball. Charles Barkley is going to get a triple double. Charles Barkley needs a pair. And everyone goes, so obnoxious why they do it. And I said, they do it because inevitably when they get caught.
Boy.
You can save the pictures, by the way. But there's,
what's,
yeah.
He's, what's down below?
He's got a dude and bondage pup.
Where's that coming from?
Why was this portrait available for us?
This is what the dude is into.
Look at his butt.
What's his? Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Read us his title, Dawson. So, all right. So let me finish my. In the title, I don't know what his job title is. Dawson can find it. But at some point, you're reading the article and it's they and them and we, and it's the dude.
The one person.
But we're all confused.
Right.
And then you game the system by shooting up the gay bar. And then as soon as you go in, you swap genders and you need to be, and maybe you get into a women's prison or like right. maybe you get, they're lenient because now it's not a hate crime because you're. You go by they and them,
right,
and everyone's just going to game the system. But 25 years ago, I used to say, so why the athletes in the third person, which you don't hear about as much anymore, but it was a big deal. And I said, it's because inevitably these guys cheat. They go fuck groupies on the road. And then at some point, they come back, and the wife with the three kids who they met in high school confronts them, and they go, why were you fucking strange poonanny on the road? And then they go, that's something Reggie White wouldn't do.
Magic Johnson would never do that.
Right. And then you go, yeah, why were you fucking? And it doesn't sound like something Magic Johnson would do, but I can talk to him. It just gets you a little separation.
Yes. Yeah,
little
disconnection. Distance.
And then at some point, like I said, with all the, she went into the Denny's bathroom and then she raped, and I get confused and I get confounded and I go, fuck it. I don't know. You got the story, Dawson?
Yeah, in the Department of Energy, he is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition. The headline is, non-binary nuclear official charged with stealing woman's luggage at airport. Britain faces up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine for allegedly taking another person's luggage. Sam Brinton, a senior Energy Department official, was charged with stealing a traveler's luggage in Minneapolis Airport in September, shortly before quietly taking a leave of absence. Allegedly took a Vera Bradley suitcase worth $2,325 from the luggage carousel at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport on September 16th, according to a criminal complaint filed on October 26th in Minnesota State Court. After the suitcase's owner alerted police, officers reviewed video surveillance of the carousel and identified Britton taking the luggage before removing its tag, identifying the owner, the court filing stated. Law enforcement observed Britton using the luggage during at least two other trips to Washington, D.C. on September 18th and October 9th. Then on October 9th, Britton denied stealing anything when a police officer called to discuss the incident. Britton was confirmed still possessing the suitcase. If I had taken the wrong bag, I'm happy to return it, but I don't have any clothes for other individuals.
Don't you know if you stole the wrong bag or not?
Oh, very much so.
There's somewhere in the article where they say they and he, or them or something like that.
I don't think it's this article.
Oh, maybe it's a different article.
In a different article as well, I read that this person was not traveling with any luggage and just landed and took some luggage.
Hoping they had a,
I like that,
34 Levi's in there.
I still want to know where the picture with the tail in the ass comes from.
The dude's into trans stuff and pup play. Other
good
forms
for
of sexuality, and he's in charge of the spent uranium.
I read they weren't going to take the picture, but someone came up to them and said, God told me to.
That's
no,
right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right.
Where's the tail coming from?
I think you know.
Yeah, well, the angle we're looking at looks like the tail is stuck in the guy's ass, like one of those wine saver corks you put in the top of your wine bottle when you can't finish
it. Now, here's a question. If this picture was out and you are one of those people,
which one would you rather be in the picture? I would rather be the dog because it's hard to identify.
Yeah, plausible deniability.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy's in charge of the spent fuel is the guy with the pink mohawk.
Right.
Who's hugging the dog.
Holding the leash.
The Doberman, whatever's happening.
This feels like a diversity hire for me, to me, but I could be wrong. Listen, everybody, when you're running a Color Me Mine, go for all the diversity hires you possibly can. No one gives a fuck. But when you're talking about, like, running a country, go for the best. That's what I'm
saying. How dare you assume that
I'm
didn't
saying.
Happen?
Yeah, Kamala Harris. All right, we'll take a break, and I got some Casey Anthony news coming right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, Corolla Drinks fans. We've got a special anniversary coming up. November marks the 10-year anniversary of Mangria. To celebrate this milestone and, more importantly, the support that the fans have given us, we're excited to announce each and every bottle of Mangria and 33 wines during the month of November is $10 only. That's right. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and get your bottles for only $10. The holidays are coming. Thank you so much for supporting us over the past decade. It really means the world to us. We love you guys. Happy holidays from all of us at Corolla Drinks.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Mijo. Hey, if I had a time machine, would I go back and kill baby Hitler? Would I go back in time and do some sports wagering or perhaps invest in Amazon stock for $2 a share? No, I'd go back to 1983 and find a young Adam Carolla and trying to convince him that there's a 75-inch flat screen on sale for $597 and men can have babies. Good luck and get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah. I mean, there's... We should book this guy, Chris, made me think about it. I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but...
I'm going to need that.
Yeah. He wrote a book, and basically the book was, you know, you can talk about how much shit cost, and, you know, back then... You know, we do that thing. Sometimes you go to those steakhouses and you see the old-timey menu with the T-bone for $1.79 from 1939 or whatever, and you go, wow. This guy just measured everything in hours spent in labor to get stuff. And as we've chronicled on this show, if you go back and look at L.A. Times, you know, they have the advertisements for the electronic section, you know, at some point in the thing. 19-inch Sony Trinitron color TV, $341, right? But the minimum wage was $1.65.
So how long would you have to work?
You'd have to work X amount of whatever. And now, you know, people are making, even on the low end, they're making $16 an hour. Right. And a flat panel 55-inch TV is $278. Yep. And thus, you have to work this many hours to get that. In that department, we are crushing it. Yeah. Like, everyone talks about, you know, the haves and the have-nots and the lower-end people, whatever. We are completely crushing the amount of hours you'd have to work to buy a banana or a flat panel or just a television or an appliance.
Everything is attainable. Right. Everything is attainable these days.
Yes.
Oh, Gina, when you were in Hawaii, like, you know, we like to travel like adults, right? Do certain things, stay in certain places.
Sure.
But you could pretty quickly identify, oh, this can be done on the cheap.
Yes.
Like, this could be a very affordable vacation.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And when it comes to the time to get something, think about the actual delivery time. It's not the Wells Fargo wagon coming next month. It's Amazon later that day, same day.
Yes, I know. People complain a lot, but it's a pretty good time to be alive. And never been a better time to be poor, so I've always said. All right. So I'm watching Extra last night
Extra.
With Billy Bush. Mm. And he's this whole Casey Anthony special's coming out.
Right.
10 years on, 11 oh, years boy. On. She's sitting down and doing her interview. I don't even know what it's called, but it's coming soon. And so I'll put it. I'll set it up with a couple of Billy Bush clips. By the way, is this where she's accusing her father? I mean,
yeah. This clip will kind of set up, and then he'll be interviewing someone special.
You didn't think being Casey Anthony accused of murdering her 2-year-old daughter, right. And then she didn't report it for 31 days, and she was the most hated woman in America, right. And she was found innocent. You don't think being her dad could get any worse? Oh, it got worse.
How is that possible?
Oh, I'll show you.
Breaking her silence in the new Peacock docuseries, Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, she claims her father, George, staged Kaylee's drowning to cover up sexually abusing her.
What did she feel like? She was heavy. She was cold.
George was furious when Casey's defense accused him of abuse during her 2011 trial. He has not issued a public statement regarding Casey's renewed claims. And I'm joined by Nancy Grace, who's covered this trial from the very beginning. Nancy, Casey says
she
the
buying
why,
it?
Why she never called 911 is that her father, who allegedly sexually abused her from ages 8 to 11, so deeply traumatized her that all she was doing was following his directive. Does this change anything for you?
It changes nothing. She would have us believe that for the next 30-plus days, her father was calling her and giving her instructions as to how to behave. That doesn't make sense.
So the grandparents were looking after the kid.
He looks like George or Jay Peterman, by the way. From Seinfeld.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. The boss.
Yeah.
Yes. That actor does a lot of VO work.
Yeah.
The dad.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're saying the dad sexually abused the child.
Casey, then Kaylee. First Casey when she was a kid,
yeah.
Then Kaylee when she was born.
Correct.
By the way, the traumatized thing, because later on they got into Will Smith and his deal, and he just goes, well, I watched my dad beat up on my mom, so that's why I had to get up there and punch Chris Rock. And it's like, oh, there's a new thing now where everyone just gets to go, I got abused,
right.
Or I witnessed abuse, and now that's why I set the nunnery on fire. It's like, oh, okay, well, you got abused. So be careful. I don't think there's such a thing. I mean, if your daughter, my daughter gets brought up on murder charges,
go on.
I'm definitely going to take the fall because the only angle is what a horrible abusive dad
right.
I had.
Yeah.
We were in Maui, and he forced me to eat every bite of my pizza.
That's right.
He tried to make me stay at the luau.
So, Nancy Grace is on the case. I think we'll play a few more clips, and then we'll get into Nancy, because I'll set you up for that.
Nancy, what do you make of the fact that Casey has become so close with her legal team that represented her all these years? They have potluck dinners together, and they deeply, deeply, deeply believe her.
I think everyone in this case has made their fortune off the body of Kaylee Anthony. They're in it thick as thieves.
There's a couple things. I forgot she wore a pink ruffled tuxedo shirt the day the jury was coming down with the verdict.
Which it's a bit celebratory.
It seems like you'd just wear a black sweater, V-neck, but it was weird. She wore this pink, festive, ruffled tuxedo shirt.
Yeah.
All right. I know what I love about Nancy Grace is she does that thing all the time where she'll go, these people are getting rich off of... it's like, people do that to me all the time. Oh, you go on Fox and hammer checks. Yeah. And it's like, you don't get paid. I don't know. People have a weird relationship with who's making money and how they make their money.
Yeah. There's no Kaylee Anthony merch, thank God. How are you getting
I got
paid?
A travel mug.
Oh. That's right. My Christmas present this year.
That's right.
We will... we'll play a couple more clips here for you.
You see Casey in tears. You see George so calm. One of the two of them is a complete pathological human being.
You can't see who is the liar. I'm going to get you another pair of glasses.
You are 100% sure she murdered her child.
Yes, I am 100% sure.
She's mad at Billy Bush now.
That's right. He needs a second pair of glasses or even maybe bifocals, she could have said. But... yeah,
well, like that preacher on late night TV, you know, the two glasses.
He don't know bass drum from a pop organ. He's a no good, low down thimble rigger.
Excuse me?
Thimble rigger.
You heard him.
What exactly does that mean?
I don't know. I used to watch that guy. His name was Gene something.
Gene.
Had a big beard.
Gene Smart.
No, that's an actress.
He'd sit there with a hat on and a big gray beard. He'd wear two pair of glasses, and he would yell that this guy doesn't know a bass drum from a pipe organ.
Wow.
And he would also accuse people of being low-down thimble riggers.
Oh, you know what a thimble rigger is?
I have no idea.
One who rigs thimbles?
Yes. It's like the shell game, the moving the cups around.
Oh.
A swindling trick in which a small ball or pea is quickly shifted from one cup to another.
Find the red queen.
See,
that's right.
Pre the internet,
because
I used to watch this guy in the 80s, no internet. So you had to just live with thimble rigger.
Well, it sounds like Yosemite Sam when he would get upset.
Yeah.
Right.
Friggin' thimble rigger.
Yeah. He would call people a thimble rigger, wow. And I had to carry that burden of not knowing what a thimble rigger was. Now, he doesn't know the difference between a bass drum and a pipe organ. That much I got.
Right.
But the thimble rigging, I had to live with that. That secret shame of not knowing what it was. No one else knew. And there's no way to find out. One could go to the library, I guess, and try to find a book on thimble rigging. So it's like a three-card Monty kind of.
That's thimble rigging.
A shyster.
That's right.
God, you got to find a clip of that guy. He was
two glasses.
Awesome.
Dr. Gene Scott.
No,
Gene Scott's angry man.
That's
I'm familiar.
He would wear the one pair of glasses and then wear one like the bridge of his nose.
I feel like I'd remember that.
Oh, man. He was.
Was this like middle of the night?
Did he wear like a pith helmet or some sort of jungle attire?
He did wear a sort of floppy camel colored hat.
Oh, well, there you go.
And he would sit there with the Bible. And he would call out all the people that were rigging thimbles and all the pipe, bass drum and pipe organ. Oh, he is wearing a pithy helmet there.
Yeah, thank you.
You're right.
Looks like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but we haven't. Well, you got to find the two glasses shot of the guy.
Later years, the two glasses.
Wow.
All right, let's find out if Nancy Grace would interview Casey Anthony.
Agreed to do an interview with you because she's so sure of all this. Would you do it?
I don't know. I don't think Top Mom Casey Anthony would sit still for me to cross-examine her. I don't think that'll ever happen.
Nancy Grace, unmoved, unflinching, unsurprising. Thank you.
Do we need the extreme close-up?
That was unsettling.
No.
The dead baby?
So we whacked this up because I was thinking some Gina Grace.
Yeah.
And we'll hit you with the first question, and you can see how you respond.
Okay.
I remember my father said something during the course of my case. He said he used to love the sweet smell of Kaylee's sweat.
Ew.
What better way to memorialize your granddaughter than to tell the world that you were abusing her, too? I'm going to need a minute. I need a minute. Sorry.
Nancy, you buying it?
Okay. I'm so glad you played this clip because she did something that every liar does. Hey, Adam, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten so emotional in your life that you actually cried? Have you cried before? Have you seen anyone cry before?
I saw Brian's song when I was nine. And
did you well up a bit? Did you have to grab your hanky and blow your nose?
Yeah.
Or, Adam, did you delicately pat with your pinky finger the little outside and inner corners of your eyes to show everyone you're crying as opposed to actually crying? Which one did you do, Adam?
I think my hands were down. I think I just wept. You know.
You wept openly.
I like Brian Piccolo.
Oh, well, who doesn't? Here's the thing that I don't like. I don't like this little Piccolo pretending she's crying by just dabbing the inner corner of her eye and saying, excuse me, I need a break.
She probably doesn't know Piccolo from a pipe organ.
She don't know her ass from her elbow, and nothing could be clearer than that fake crying crocodile.
You think she's trying to thimble rig us?
I think she thimble rigged us six ways to Sunday, and I swear to God, if I could get her to sit down, I could prove it.
All right. Well, we'll play another clip, and we'll see. We'll see if she's gotten her act together, Nancy.
Okay.
Why didn't he call 911? I wasn't the only one that was home. And why, after all this time, keep blaming me for something I didn't do? Why?
Have a question for you. When you were just a little young fella, little knee-high to a grasshopper, little young buck greenhorn, question for you, did you play a game known as Hot Potato?
Yeah, we used to play Hot Potato. As a matter of fact, there was a game called Hot Potato where there was a plastic potato, and you wind a little winder clock in it and throw it around until the alarm went off and whoever got caught with it was the possessor of the hot potato.
It's such fun. Now, tell me just real quick in your own words, what is, and I'm sorry to cross-examine you, but I feel as though you might have something to say about this. What is the point of hot potato?
Well, the point is not to get caught holding the potato.
So you're saying that the whole point of hot potato is to not get caught with the potato. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm under oath, but even if I was, I would probably say correct.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it, because guess what? Our own sweet little Casey Anthony was playing her own little game of hot potato just there, passing the blame. Do you ever play a game called Kick the Can? Kicking the can down the road, passing the potato. She'll never take responsibility for what she did, so guess what? She passes that little hot potato right over to Daddy.
Jeez, you're right. I'm getting hungry. You think her dad actually molested her or molested her child?
Babies don't sweat. There has been no person in the history of humanity who said, oh, I love when my baby sweats.
That's a good point. Babies really don't sweat. You can get them warm, but they don't.
Thank you, Brian. They don't have the glandular issue to sweat when they're infants.
You sound like Prince Charles's lawyer, whoever was on.
Where's Andrew?
Prince Andrew's
lawyer. He doesn't sweat.
Oh, you give me 5 minutes in the room with Prince Andrew. I'll get him.
All right. I don't want to get you going off.
He'll warble all night when I'm done with him.
Goddamn rain bird.
Yeah. So the body, I don't get why she didn't call anyone for 31 days.
Well, she says it's because Daddy wouldn't let her. Adam, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a little game called Mother May I?
Yes, you may. Yes, I have.
Okay. And will you just quickly tell the people, the good people, what the object of the game is?
You would say, Mother, may I? And then they'd say, yes, you may. And then you could come over. I don't know. Was it Red Rover?
That's a different game. I'll go ahead and strike that from the record. Wow. Mother, may I? You're about correct. You ask the leader, Mother, may I take two hopscotches forward? And she says, yes, you may, or no, you may not. Now,
do you have a Stratego metaphor so I could kind of follow along? I know that game better.
You just cool your heels. Or let me get four. To where I'm getting.
Yeah.
So Casey here, after playing a little game of hot potato, little game of kick the can down the road, little game of, baby, patty cake, baker's man. Now she's playing a little game of Mother May I. Adam, let me ask you a question. If you're, God forbid, there was a baby in your house that was no longer with us, would you wait to call your daddy to see if you're allowed to call the coroner?
No, no. And also, she doesn't sound like someone who has a lot of reverence for her dad. She's calling him a pedophile on TV and trying to get him thrown in jail and pin the murder on him. That's not someone who seems fearful.
I don't. I think you are knee-high to a grasshopper on that. I think you are just plum sugar picking, right?
Again, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting horny. I long for my childhood. And also, in terms of the two-year-old sweat sniffer, it sounds weird.
It ain't a thing, and she knows it.
But, you know, Joe Biden's a hair sniffer, and we elected him. I mean, maybe we'll have some room for guys who like sniffing.
Hey, Adam.
Hmm.
You remember a product called Gee, Your Hair Smells Terrific?
Oh, do I?
Could you please tell the good people what that is?
That was shampoo that was infused with a bunch of scent that smelled amazing. And then the commercial, the woman would go on the subway and everyone would be sniffing her head.
I see. Thank you very much. And can you recall in the commercial, the many, many times I'm sure you saw it, did it ever say to be used on babies?
No, I don't recall
that. Rest my case.
Yeah. Yeah, very sad.
It's all case.
So when does this air on Peacock? And
it might be up now.
Gina, you're going to have some homework because you're going to have to watch this
shit.
It was pretty damn... Oh, also, Billy Bush, who's very good at his job and who I like, had a unbelievably bizarre hot take at the end.
Oh.
On the whole Will Smith situation with Chris Rock, which I think it's strange because Will Smith keeps going, he does this thing that everyone does now where they go, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have slapped Chris Rock, but I'm human.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you. You've now included us into assaulting
like
people
the rest of you idiots.
On stage. First off, the I'm human excuse, done with it. I'm done with I'm human because everyone who's watching is human and no one has laid a hand on Chris Rock.
Correct.
So that's not really, I don't
neither
like it. I saw abuse. I was abused. I get it. That does not give you a license to put your hands on somebody. But here's Billy Bush's sort of hot take on obviously he's in the Will Smith camp, but here's his final thought.
Final thought. The burden that Will Smith carried throughout his life was that when things were really bad, he just took it. When his dad would abuse his mom, he lacked the courage to stand up for her and be a man or the man. Chris Rock, who when the dust finally settles, you'll recall, made a tasteless and ill-timed crack at Will's wife. And he got heralded for what? Not doing the worst of the two things? Will got overwhelmed in the midst of this emotional cascade, probably reasoned he was doing the right thing, finally standing up. He was wrong. It was wrong. We are all wired for wrong. I can't wait to see his movie. Bye-bye.
All right, a couple things.
So weird.
That's a fucked up, retarded take,
yeah,
right?
Jerry Springer's like, dial it back.
Right. His final thought. Yeah, totally.
We're all wired for wrong.
I don't know about that.
I
feel like they're more right than wrong.
Yeah.
I got it. Just give me the him and Chris Rock part again. So, ill-timed, ill-whatever.
Tasteless.
Like, it's not ill-timed. You're hosting the Oscars. You have to roast people in the first three rows.
Right.
Totally within context. And it's like, he's heralding the other guy.
And was he heralded? I mean, people, stood up for him. Like, he has a right to make a joke, but I don't know if he was celebrating.
No, he wasn't hoisted upon people's shoulders.
What's Billy's take on this thing?
It's very hard to figure out. And also, just going back to the whole Jada thing, Jada's gorgeous. She knows she's gorgeous. She has a nice shaped head. She pulled off the look. Like, so
yes.
What happened? What was that?
I don't know. But him explaining that basically Will Smith was not man enough to do anything when he was 7 because his dad was 6'3 and 240 pounds. So, yes, none of us would be. Now it's time to step up and be a man on the Oscar stage with this guy smaller than you who's telling jokes.
Unoffensive jokes.
This is why I could never be in the band Duran Duran.
Oh, the list is getting longer.
Or be a boom mic operator for Extra. Because he'd get halfway into that jacket and I'd go,
what are
you talking about?
Bonk him on the head.
You sound like an idiot. This is not, I know you're thinking this is a final thought or a hot take. It's retarded. No one's going to agree with you. And I'm standing 4 feet from you and I'm fucking confused. I don't know what you're saying here.
It sounds like there's only one person he cares about agreeing with him, and that's not to lose his connection to Will Smith.
Is it more about Billy Bush than about Will Smith? You know what I mean? Like, we all make mistakes. Right. We all, you know, do these things.
We all get in buses with the president. Yeah, say some things we shouldn't have.
Well, let's hear it one more time. Let's see.
When his dad would abuse his mom, he lacked the courage to stand up for her and be a man, or the man. Chris Rock, who when the dust finally settles, you'll recall, made a tasteless and ill-timed crack at Will's wife. And he got heralded for what? Not doing the worst of the two things?
All right. It's just a bizarre, it's a fucked up, semi-retarded, bizarre take.
It's flimsy at best.
I don't think he wants his access to Will Smith taken away.
Yeah, he probably felt some pressure to say something.
That's my guess.
I can see that.
Talk to Chris Rock.
or whoever else is on, you know, whoever's repping Will Smith is repping some A-listers.
Right. Oh, interesting. There we go.
So yeah, there's some motivation there.
That's probably Tom Cruise.
So he said, fine, I'll say something, but I'll make it so convoluted we won't really know what I'm saying anyway.
Is Billy Bush also very, very grateful to the powers that be that he's finally back on the air and he's going to do everything they say because he doesn't want anything like that to happen again?
Yeah, he's not playing with house money.
I have no idea. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just think that's his take. It's just
hot,
a weird and confusing take.
Okay.
All right. But that's why you got to watch to the end, people. That's all I do is I sit around with a notepad going, what the fuck? All right. Let's see. The Casey Anthony thing's on Peacock, three-parter. So enjoy your stateside homework. Now, Gina Grad.
Thank you.
First, let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do, and it can be hard work. Well, Geico makes it easy to get your bundle going, and you can take your renter's or homeowner's insurance along with your automotive policy and get your bundle working. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's easy. It's Geico easy. When you get your bundle going on Geico. All right. Diana Maria Riva. I think I'm saying all
nailed
that
it.
Right. Now, you know me. I don't watch episodic TV.
Right.
I watch car shows. Mm-hmm. I watch MMA shows. And then I watch
Extra
and TMZ.
You're saying new episodic TV.
Oh, and the Love Boat. I love the Love Boat.
Not since 1982.
But I watched Dead to Me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very good show. And it's Christina Applegate going through some health issues and stuff like that. And Diana is a big part of that show. So I'm a big fan.
Nice.
And we'll talk to her right after this.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.